It's Friday night, and your work week is over. Kick back and get the latest on the Indianapolis Colts.
Jonathan Taylor, touchdown! The 10, the 5, a pick 6 for the Colts!
Get up to speed on the Colts and the NFL, starting now.
And he walks into the end zone! Touchdown, INDY!
This is the Colts Happy Hour on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
Well, all right, welcome into the Colts Happy Hour, brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Download the app today and make every moment more. I am not JMV. He has a much-deserved Black Friday off. My name is Casey Vallier, filling in for John tonight on the Colts Happy Hour. It's been a day full of high school football right here on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan for high school football state championships. We're going to take about an hour to talk about the NFL before we dive into a night of Pacers basketball as the Pacers host the Toronto Raptors tonight at Gainbridge Field. House. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving yesterday. I know I have plenty of leftovers still in the fridge. That's going to hold me over through the rest of the weekend. But let's talk about Colts football. They got a huge victory last Sunday, defeating the Bills 41-15. Very decisive victory for the Colts on the road. They now move to 6-5 on the season. It was an important win as this team continues their push in the playoff conversation as we move towards the end of the football season. One of the big reasons they got a win in Buffalo was because of the performance of Jonathan Taylor. He took over the league lead in rushing, but he also became just the 18th player in NFL history to score 5 touchdowns in a game, and that brings us to this week's Truth or Trash. Jonathan Taylor is now fully in the league MVP conversation. I think it has to be truth. He leads the league in rushing yards, along with rushing touchdowns and total touchdowns. He's tied an NFL record with his 8th straight game of 100-plus scrimmage yards and at least one rushing touchdown. The last player to do so was LaDainian Tomlinson in 2006, and he won the MVP that season. The last running back to win the MVP award was Adrian Peterson, who did it in 2012, and that was the last player that is the non-quarterback division, and he ran for over 2,000 yards and 12 touchdowns in his MVP season in 2012. That's Adrian Peterson. If you want to respond to me via Twitter, you can tweet at me at C Vallier Colts. We're going to continue to talk about this conversation throughout the show, but it's time to welcome in the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts for our weekly conversation with head coach Frank Reich. And coach, when it comes to the NFL, Thanksgiving and football, it's kind of an American institution. With it falling in the middle of your week, you know, with preparation, what's the balance of getting work in for Tampa Bay, but also giving those guys time with the family?
Well, hey, we all know that we're really trying to get ready for this game, Casey. So we certainly adjust the schedule, and we do give them time. But really, the way we talk to our guys is, hey, just don't let your guard down. We're at too important of a time in the season, so let's lock in on this preparation when we're here and then go home and enjoy the family, and then we got to get ready to go for this game.
Talking about this game on Sunday, it's going to be a bit of a throwback with the uniforms. You're honoring the 1950s era with uniforms from the 1956 season. What do you think of the old logos and the threads?
I kind of love it. I mean, it's out there today. You know, it was the first day that we had the helmets changed, and we talked to a couple of the players about it out there. I like the look.
All right, Coach, huge victory on Sunday. Before we dive into the Buccaneers, I kind of want to go back to, you know, it was a pretty emotional win for you on Sunday in Buffalo. I don't know if gratifying is the word, but how encouraging was that victory?
Yeah, it was really encouraging. I'm just really proud of the guys and happy for our team. We've been working so hard. I know the kind of team we have. And, you know, it was an opportunity, you know, for a statement win. And the guys came through.
We're joined by Colts head coach Frank Reich. Now, the reigning Super Bowl champion Buccaneers come to town on Sunday. You guys know that very well. And when you talk about this Buccaneers team, you got to start with number 12 and Tom Brady, arguably one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever do it. What do you got to do against Tom this week?
Well, he is the greatest of all time, so there's no doubt we'll have our hands full. But I'm excited for our defense and the opportunity they have to show, Case, what kind of a defensive unit we are. And Brady's going to make some plays. We all know that. But we just need to limit them. We need to be good on third down. We need to be good in the red zone and make them kick field goals. So limit the big plays, and then in the red zone, be especially disciplined and tight in the red zone.
Well, that's one of the things. I mean, you know, with a guy like this, you know, taking away the middle of the field with guys like Gronk and Evans and Godwin is definitely important. But how important is it to be, you know, to make him force the ball to the outside?
Well, we're going to mix it up. he's what we want to do is just kind of mix it up like we do with everybody. And it's hard to fool a guy like this. So he's got his progressions that he's going to work. They're going to try to execute their game plan. This is what I love about this game, talking to our team about it. You know, it's always that combination of, hey, we got to do what we do. We understand who we're playing. We adjust our schemes. We kind of map them out depending on who we're going against and how we think they're going to play us. But at the end of the day, it's going to come down to executing what we do better than what they do.
Now, one of the areas we've talked about all year is the ability to create turnovers. And last week we saw that on full display with four takeaways from this defense. Can you talk about the importance of you guys having that league lead with that plus 15 turnover margin?
Yeah, our defense has been outstanding. And then on top of that, the offense has really been opportunistic. And, you know, we also lead the league in points off of turnovers.
Right, exactly.
So we got to continue that trend. Defense has been really making it a priority, and then, you know, we have the talent as players to kind of get it out and force the turnovers. It'll be a good challenge this week. Brady's pretty smart with the ball, but, you know, it'll be a great opportunity for our defense to show up big time against one of the better offenses in the league.
Well, they're really good offense, but they're also a pretty good defense as well. They're top 10 in defense, and they're number one in slowing down the run. So back-to-back weeks, your offensive line and this running back room led by Jonathan Taylor are facing off against, at the time, the number one rushing defense in the league. How excited are they looking forward to another tough challenge on Sunday?
So excited. And this is another great opportunity. And like you said, defensively, this is the number one run defense, and, you know, we're one of the better run offenses. So this is good on good. This is what these games are about, and we just looking forward to that challenge and seeing how it all plays out.
Final couple things with Colts head coach Frank Reich. You know, we talk about the Colts on defense, and it's only fitting as we've been talking about the Buccaneers defense. You know, Todd Bowles, very aggressive defensive coordinator. What are the hallmarks of that defense for Tampa Bay?
Well, I mean, the hallmarks are they stop the run. You know, every year they lead the league in stopping the run, and every year they are a very high blitz percentage team. And so you got to be able to handle the blitz versus Todd Bowles, and they do a good job of executing it. And so he's aggressive, and he's not afraid to call it at any time. So we got to be ready for it.
All right, final thing. What are the keys to the game in order to give the Colts the top on this Buccaneers in a post-Thanksgiving showdown?
Well, I think anytime you have two high-scoring offenses going against one another, it's really going to come down to who executes well in the red zone, you know. And we need to score touchdowns, and we need to make them kick a few field goals. And so that'll be a big key. But we also need to, as you alluded to earlier, we need to win the turnover battle. That's always a big key. And then also, right, this is a big play. You know, both teams have big play capability on offense. And so defensively, whoever can do the better, we need to limit them on their big plays, and we need to have some explosiveness in our offense, both in the run game and the pass game.
Well, there you go, Frank Reich, part of our weekly conversation as always. Thank you so much, Coach, and good luck on Sunday as you welcome in the defending Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Thank you, Casey.
Well, it is time for our first time out here on the Colts Happy Hour, brought to you by FanDuel. But when we return, we're going to talk to the newest member of the Colts Ring of Honor, as Robert Mathis, number 98, is going to be inducted into the Ring of Honor for the Colts at halftime of Sunday. Once again, this is the Colts Happy Hour, brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
A full hour dedicated to Colts football. This is the Colts Happy Hour on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
And we're back on the Colts Happy Hour, brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Download the app today and make every moment more. In for JMV, I am Casey Vallier. It's been a day full of high school football state championships, and right now we're talking Colts football until Pacers coverage kicks off at 7:30. The Truth or Trash for this week, which you can follow me at CValier Colts to weigh in on your opinion, is Jonathan Taylor is in the conversation for MVP. And as I mentioned before, for me, 100% true. He's leading the league in rushing touchdowns, and total touchdowns. He is essentially a threat to break the game wide open every time he touches the football. But in the NFL, that award has been mainly a quarterback-to-lose award. The last non-quarterback to win the award was Adrian Peterson back in 2012. But I think Jonathan Taylor definitely is in that conversation. And if, like I said, if you want to weigh in, you can tweet me at CValierColts. The Colts have climbed their way back to a 6-5 record after starting the season 1-4. And the opponent on Sunday, well, it's Tom Brady and the defending Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And speaking of Tom Brady, it is only fitting that the Colts are adding the newest member of their Ring of Honor this Sunday with number 98, Robert Mathis, a player who despises quarterback and his favorite quarterback to sack was none other than number 12, Tom Brady. I'm sure if it was up to Rob and Colts Nation, his induction on Sunday would include maybe an edge rush at halftime to let him get after Tom Brady one last time. Earlier this week, Jeffrey Gorman and Colts Ring of Honor member Bill Brooks caught up with the newest member of the Colts Ring of Honor, Robert Mathis, and they asked him what it meant when he heard the news that he was going to be added to the Ring of Honor.
Very humble, man. Just is, and still surreal. Just like you got guys like Bill Brooks, Peyton Manning, Jeff Saturday, Dwight, all these guys, these legendary Colts guys, and they said, you're next, and thank you, I'll take it, but I'm still humble, all the same.
All the same. That's what we love about you, man, because quiet. I remember your first year here, very quiet and stuff, but making things happen and became a leader of this football team. But the passion that you have for playing the position of getting after the quarterback, Robert, that's something that not many have. Have you been able to share your experience with other players that have the ability that you did? And is that a tough thing to do because you're trying to teach some of these guys your tricks and they just can't pull them off?
Rest assured, anybody that'll listen, I'm going to talk about hating quarterbacks, so that wasn't a problem. but the thing is, it's that want to. It's a very few guys that really just want to get after the court. Well, a lot of people say they want to do it, but very few are willing to do what it takes to actually get it done. And once you come across those guys, you kind of stick them close to the vest and just kind of pour into them and mold them.
Now, Robert, you talked about going against quarterbacks, that you didn't like quarterbacks. Was there any particular quarterback that you really, really enjoyed hitting when you played against them?
Yeah, absolutely. And he came in the league, well, I'm going to say 3 years before me, and he's still playing.
Oh, boy. I know who that is.
I think I know who that is. And you might see him in a head.
It was always tough, just a tough match going against him and the old Patriot rivalries. So it was just, when you're able to get to him, it just, there's a lot of work went into that. So, Dwight and myself and along with a lot of other guys that we played with, just things that you remember for a long time.
Right. Now, you talk about it was tough going against that quarterback. Now, what about offensive lineman? Who was the toughest offensive lineman you had to go against throughout your career?
I say the toughest is Walter Jones, even though I had just met a couple of rushes against him, but he was like, he's that guy. But it was a lot of battles with the old Tennessee Titans offensive tackles, Roos and Big Country. So those were the guys that kind of gave me a lot of problems, Dwight and myself. But, well, not Dwight. He kind of whooped Roos a little bit. But off the top of my head, those two as a duo gave us some battles.
Robert, the way you played the game was choreographed. It was acrobatic. It was symphonic. It was moves that you didn't have coming out of college that you became an expert at. And I know Dwight Freeney had a lot to do with that. But where did the way that you played the game and would rush the passer, who gave you the most info? Who gave you the most learning tools to say, hey, I can do it, and I can do it at a big disadvantage at this level?
Well, I would say John Teerling had a whole lot to do with that because he gave Dwight and myself the freedom to just to be creative in our rushes. And so most of those rushes don't work, but a few of them work. And then he let us practice those moves in football practice. Lo and behold, it just kind of tailored our game to whatever our skill level was. So, Dwight is going to give you that spin, that inside spin. So I like to kind of vary it because I was, quote unquote, undersized. So I wanted to try to throw a mirage of things at that offensive tackle. So, man, my thing is, if you have them thinking, most times they're going to lose that.
Right, yeah. And if you also, the choreographed moves that you would have, that was an art. That was an absolute art. And you, my friend, are the artiste when it comes to the strip sack.
When it comes to, and I can't speak enough about John Teerling because we have a, a motto that we have in my training company. It's called Skill, Not Scheme. And that really, I credit him with that because he told us, look, I'm the coach. You guys are the players. I'm going to coach around your talents. That is the job of a coach, of a good coach, that is. So whatever it is that you guys do, I'm going to coach around it. So go do what you do. And I with the strip sacks, I grew up watching Derek Thomas. Mm-hmm. I was watching him on the old football NFL Rocks type videos. And he always came with that. He called it that tomahawk chop on the quarterback. And I was doing that in high school, college, and then got to the pros. And John Tierney, he never altered my game. I said, okay, we're gonna keep it going. we're gonna chop the ball out of these quarterbacks' hands.
Well, that's great. Now, you talk about the impact Tierney had on your career in the NFL, but there's another player you played with, Dwight Freeney. What did he mean to you playing with him, and what was the biggest thing you learned from Dwight Freeney as you played with him?
Well, when I came in 2003, he was probably literally the only guy, pass rusher-wise, that I could look eye to eye. The rest of the guys were, man, like almost like 7 feet, and those prototypical, you know, big guys or so. And to see him, like, although we were similar as far as, like, speed, explosion, we were different. Dwight had a whole lot of power. And he used that for his game and to set up the inside spin. And mine was to rush the edge to set up the inside spin. So the way he approached the game and him being such a student of the game, I learned that from him. He watched film, break down, tendencies, formation recognition. And it was all just to get to that sack. So whatever it is that's going to tell me this is a pass, hey, I'm gonna study this all week. And I can say I got that from him.
Robert Mathis going in the Colts Ring of Honor at halftime of the upcoming Tampa Bay Bucks-Colts game at Lucas Oil Stadium. Here, I've known you a lot of years. I've known you since your rookie year coming in here. One thing I did, Bill, I'll tell you, is I cut him a wide berth, meaning I didn't mess with Robert Mathis, okay? He had a look in his eye. Even at Wednesday practice, Thursday practice, you just let him do his thing. You know what I'm saying? And that competitive fire, Robert, that stuff that not many people have seen out of you like we have on Sundays especially. How did you feel that after you leaving the game, knowing what it takes to get your body and your mind ready for a battle and a war on Sundays, and then all of a sudden it stopped? How do you feel that fire?
Well, I mean, different strokes for different folks, but I know as for me, I had to do something football related, and it became like therapy because you just can't just stop playing mm-hmm. football after you've been doing it, you know. Most guys, high school and, you know, like little leagues, just your body's been on a schedule
sure.
all the way up until this point. And then it was just like, oh, okay, what do I do now? I don't miss the bumps and bruises and the injuries and just having to pull yourself together weekly. I do miss, like, the locker room, the dynamic of that, you know, just camaraderie and things like that. So that was probably the biggest hurdle. And just being able to teach my younger guys, younger NFL guys, college, high school, and grade school student athletes, and pour into them and just give them the do's and don'ts, all the positives that I did. I maximized that in relation to telling them all the negatives. I try to minimize it by, look, this is what I did wrong. Don't do this. Don't be like Robert here.
Right.
Type of deal. So whenever I get a lot of satisfaction from that, so I'm in a good place, a great place, actually, and I couldn't be more blessed and just thankful for opportunity.
But I bet there are those times when you're watching a Sunday or Monday night game where you see something happen and want to throw something at the TV, say, come on, man.
Absolutely. It's been a couple times. I done kicked over my just want to flip a couch or two or throw a book at the TV. But that's just we can't watch football as fans.
Exactly.
That's
you're
the
right.
Bottom line. I'm dissecting. I'm not even looking at the DBs or receivers. I'm looking at the pass rushers.
Well, there you have it. Fan favorite number 98, Robert Mathis, to be inducted into the Colts Ring of Honor this Sunday at halftime of the Colts and Buccaneers game. And as you heard him say, Tom Brady was his favorite quarterback to bring down. So I'm sure watching his reaction, if Tom Brady gets sacked at any point this Sunday, is definitely going to be one to keep an eye on what number 98 does when he sees Tom Brady hit the ground. Up next, we're going to get the offensive and defensive blueprints from Rick Venturi on how the Colts can attack this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team on Sunday. You are listening to the Colts Happy Hour, brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
Caesars Sportsbook, the sportsbook for the people. Download and get started with a risk-free bet of up to $5,000. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 years or older. Welcome back to the Colts Happy Hour. We're getting you in the know on the Colts heading into the weekend.
Back on the Colts Happy Hour, brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Download the app today and make every moment more. In for J&B tonight, my name is Casey Vallier. It is time for the Forum Credit Union Question of the Week. This week's question: Jonathan Taylor continued to keep his incredible season rolling last week, where he ran for 185 rushing yards with four touchdowns on the ground, along with 19 receiving yards and a touchdown, giving him five total touchdowns on the day. And he has now eclipsed the 1,000 yards for rushing on the year for his second straight season. He now joins some elite company as well in franchise history. Only three Colts have reached a 1,000-yard rushing mark in each of his first two seasons. Who are they? If you know the answer, you can tweet at me, CValier Colts. I'm going to give you the answer in the next segment of the show. The Colts host the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday. My favorite way to prepare for an upcoming game is to get Rick Venturi's blueprints for the game. So without further ado, let's welcome in Rick Venturi, who is with Matt Taylor. Matt?
All right, let's break it down. The Buccaneers on offense. Let's go over the Colts defensive blueprint. The Bucs are led by Tom Brady. He is the league's all-time winningest quarterback in the regular season and the postseason. He is the league leader in career passing yards, passing touchdowns, and his 1.8 career interception rate ranks third all-time. And then just pick your poison on the outside, like Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown when he's healthy. Evans is the franchise leader in touchdown catches. He leads the league this season in touchdown catches. Godwin is a big play waiting to happen. He has 48 catches over 20 yards since 2019. And then Rob Gronkowski returned from injury last week. He's Tom Brady's security blanket. He ranks fifth all-time among tight ends in receiving yards. And then that offensive line's pretty solid. They've allowed the fewest sacks in the NFL so far this season. We all know Tom Brady gets the ball out pretty quick as well. But this is an offense, Rick, that's going to ride Tom Brady. They routinely throw the ball over 40 times per game with Bruce Arians. They don't mind doing that. They're not a huge running team. What else do we need to know about the Buccaneers on offense?
No, you're exactly right. Numbers-wise, Brady's still at number three QBR, 29 touchdowns to eight picks, 104 passer rating. So, you know, he's right at the top of his game. I don't see any real fall-off. I saw a couple uncharacteristic interceptions in the two losses, but overall, numbers really, really good. We know what we're looking at there. It's, you know, when you defend Brady as opposed to Allen, you know, with Allen, you're looking at an athlete, still kind of an NCAA kid, gets confused, kind of like going to a physical therapist. When you defend Brady, it's like going to a heart surgeon. I mean, really, he's surgical. It's a totally different approach, totally two different guys. You know, you're right, pick your poison. Godwin has really become the, I would say, go-to guy in terms of targets. They put him in a slot a lot. He catches a lot of balls. He's got 63 catches. And then Evans is kind of their one-on-one guy. They like to leave him on the weak side, let you move over to the strong side, and then go one-on-one. You know, he's a big 50-50, red zone, power forward, you know, bank board type guy. He's got 10 touchdowns. That tells you all. And I think they're a different team when Gronk is there. Brate's a solid tight end, but when Gronk is there, all of a sudden he's a playmaker. Even though he doesn't play a ton of plays, he was on a pitch count. You know, I think he has six catches for 71, one for 35, and immediately now he gives you a matchup problem, different spots, and obviously nobody knows him better than Brady. Here are some things I think that you really have to know, you know, having played against Brady, and, you know, there's a merging of thinking from his New England days to the Indianapolis concept of Arians and Tom Moore to what they do now. But they're sequential in down and distance. It's important to know this. On first down and second and medium, they do give it to the running backs a lot. You know, even though they don't have big numbers, they'll try to test you with the running backs on runs and screens. And what they like to let that happen is set up the play action. And the play action is set up to take shots downfield, either over routes to the tight end or Godwin, or just shots to number 13. If it's not there, Tom will check it down. And, you know, they run some RPO pops, not many, just to keep you honest and get the ball basically to Godwin, and then shots. Second, if they get behind in a count, second and long, it's all about getting back to an ideal third down. They're going to spread you on second and long or four open receivers. They're going to throw it quick, rhythm, sticks, options, smashes, jerks, all that kind of everything, possession. And then third down, he's going to play you by the window. If it's short, you're going to get a lot of bunches. You're going to get a lot of rubs in short, like Tom used to do here at Indianapolis. If it goes a little bit longer, they run what we call a two option, or bringing everybody in, which I still call the Indy drive. And again, third down, 14, Godwin is the key. And then the second thing is, very important that you understand what he's trying to get done with his 3-by-1 sets. And he runs two different 3-by-1 sets. One, where Evans is the weak side receiver and Gronk is over there strong with Godwin. And what he wants there, he wants you to come over strong, and he's going to isolate back. If you don't come strong, then Gronk's going to get the ball. Then he likes the speed trips with three receivers to the field, Gronkowski on the weak side with Fournette. And then they play games 2-on-2 on the backside. And if he can get Gronkowski on a smaller, shorter player, then you're going to get the fade game to him at that 6'7" height. Understand that when you get started. Must. Don't let the running game get going. Even though it's not good statistically, Fournette is 4.3, Jones is 4.4 rush per. And so those guys are pretty good backs, believe it or not, with the bad statistics that they have. They just choose not to run it very much. But the other reason you don't want to get the running game going is because if you have to commit guys to stop the run, then he's going to just kill you with that play-action game. All right, number two, this is the difference. And in Allen, this is where you go from physical therapist to heart surgeon, okay? Do not show Tom Brady a pre-snap look where you undressed your corner. Same way when you played Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, those kind of guys. They have doctor's degrees before the snap. And if you undress your corner on an Evans or you undress somebody on Gronkowski, he is going to take it, and he's going to know ahead of time, which it just makes him that much more accurate. You got to play really tight windows from numbers to numbers. You got to match people tight. Tom has made a living for 20 years. I played against his second start. I was at the Saints. His second start in Foxborough was against us in 2001. It's that long ago. But he has made a living from numbers to numbers. So it's important that you pack the coverage in, occasionally drop the extra guy in there like Rex Ryan used to do, and really pack it in there. The only time he really wants to throw it to the outside is if you give him that outside matchup one-on-one with a Gronkowski or with an Evans. You got to pack it inside. Again, number three, I mentioned this earlier, have real good concept on how you're going to play 3-by-1s. Don't get in a rhythm of playing them. Have different ways to play the speed trips and the regular trips, because really and truly, that's his money offense. When he's up there looking you over and he's figuring out whether to throw, he's going to get in 3-by-1 to do that. Very important, number four, that we pressure him up inside. First of all, it's who he is. He's not going to run to the outside. You don't have to worry about that kind of athleticism. And again, he's an inside numbers thrower. So the pressure has got to come inside. Plus, I think they're struggling in there on protection. So if you're blitzing, if you're rushing with Buckner, get Deo in there, get those big trees up in front of him where he has to throw over you, where you block his vision. You want to get him off the spot. We used to say that about Manning. Same thing about Brady. Get them off the spot. You don't want them stepping up into clean pockets in that regard. And because of that, in those two losses before Monday night, he airmailed a couple interceptions that were head-scratchers, much head-scratchers. So, you know, I think there's some issue there. And, you know, because of who we are, you know, you got to win with who you are. We win on offense because we can pound it, and we win on defense because we turn the ball over. And they've been a little bit vulnerable. You know, there are 8 interceptions, 29 touchdowns, but a couple of the interceptions have been funny. So it's been a subtle problem for the champions. Let's confirm it on Sunday.
All right, that's Rick Venturi. This is Inside Football. I'm Matt Taylor, and let's break down now the Buccaneers on defense. The defensive coordinator, again, is Todd Bowles, and he inherited the league's 27th-ranked defense when he took over. But since joining Tampa Bay, he's completely transformed that unit, finishing as the league's 6th-best defense last year. Currently, so far this season, they rank 8th. They've led the NFL in rushing yards allowed in each of the last 2 seasons. They're number 1 again as far as that goes, again, this season, giving up less than 80 yards per game, Rick. And just like their offense, they got a lot of big names on that defense. Ndamukong Suh, Shaq Barrett, Lavonte David at linebacker, Jason Pierre-Paul up front on the outside, Devin White, Mike Edwards. What worries you about this defense going into this game?
Well, they are very, very aggressive, and you're exactly right. I always nickname him Blitz Bowles because, you know, Bowles, he comes blitzing out of the bus. I mean, he's bringing 5 guys no matter what almost all the time. And you know what? And they have been very solid against the run, too, in rush per, which I look at. No question about that. And the thing I think you have to be most ready for if there's something that worries you is the overall pressure. I think if you block their pressure, I think you can kill this version of the Bucs. You're exactly right. And the reason that they start with pressure is that with Barrett on one side and Pierre-Paul on the other side, and then the young kid Tryon coming up, they have 2 edge rushers. They're called linebackers, but they're really hybrid.
Right.
They're really rushers first. Mm-hmm. So ideally what they want to do is bring those 2 guys. Then they have Golson and Sue at the 3s, and then they got a power player in Villa at nose. Now, Villa makes a big difference if he's there or not. He wasn't there Monday night, but he's a guy that can really disrupt the game at nose. And so it's kind of different whether he's in there, how you run it, how you don't. But they like to do that. Also, White is a terrific blitzer, you know, number 45. He's really fast. He's short, small, but he is lightning on the blitz. So they've got guys that can rush the passer, and they're not afraid, and they're going to bring it all the time. The biggest problem I think they've had, to be honest with you, is that they have been like a mass unit at corner. They've been good at safety. You know, basically Winfield is one of the better players in the league, the young Winfield at safety. He's a playmaker. But their corner position has really been a mass unit. And, you know, Dean is the only survivor. He's the starting right corner. At left corner, it's going to be Murphy Bunting. They've had like 5 different guys play at Bunting. It's finally healthy again. But they really struggled even in the win versus New York. I mean, they got a lot of PIs. And what's happened is, as much as Todd's likes to blitz, he has not had the weapon of that sticky man-to-man press that they played in 2000 and 2019 when they were dominating. And he's trying to play more zone with that same ratio, and he's playing zone blitzes. Well, what happens there, it's not quite the same because you're now playing off at the corner, you're playing soft at the corner, and teams are really getting that ball out quicker because you have free access. You're not getting jammed at the line, and they're throwing a lot of one-on-one stuff on the outside, either outs or goes. And then they're throwing a lot to the slots who are working deep outside on that zone. So they haven't, you know, they haven't been as effective. I mean, they're, you know, they have those great run statistics, and their overall statistics are good, but they're 17th on the, against the pass, and they're 11th in sacks. So, you know, they're not the overwhelming team than they were before. So I think when you ask me those questions, it's, you know, I and we'll talk about it in the must. Mm-hmm. I think the first thing you got to do, okay, and I'll explain this to the fans as I go, is on early downs, of course, we have to be ourselves, but there has to be a method of being yourself. First of all, I believe you have to play this team what we call wrong. Play them wrong. Now, here's what I mean by that, okay. On first down, when you have your base personnel in the game, which for us is two tight ends or three tight ends, and they have their base personnel in the game, that's when they give you a lot of garbage and they give you that double sink. That's where you want to be throwing the ball, okay? And I'm going to explain why in a minute. You want to be throwing the ball. When you get in your nickel set, your three receiver set, now they go into their nickel and they play it much, much more standard like an over, and that's where you want to run it. So you want to kind of approach them in general terms, just the opposite you would think.
Right.
Base personnel, throw it. Nickel personnel, run it.
Right.
And, you know, don't be stubborn. You every Sunday unfolds differently. You're not going to get 264 rushing every week. I hope we do. You know, we got to run it and make sure they can, you know, prove that they can stop it. But this may be a game where there has to be a little bit more balance in terms of run pass, particularly because of their style and their vulnerabilities. Number two, make sure we protect the edges, okay? And I think Fisher and Smitty are back to the top of their game, so I like it. But you got to do it, because even though Barrett, Pierre-Paul, and even Tryon, they haven't been necessarily lights out. But, you know, Barrett has 5.5, Pierre-Paul 2.5, Tryon 3, and they've got a bunch of tackles for losses. Those guys, when they're on their A game, they can come from that outside. So, you know, you got to do a really, really good job mm-hmm. of protection on that edge. And even I'll add White to the equation, because he's a big-time blitzer, sometimes outside, sometimes in that B gap. So, you know, in the end, make sure that doesn't beat you. Number three is the obvious. Attack their corners. Attack Murphy, Bunning, and Dean on the outside. They don't play a lot of press this year, a lot of off coverage, so it should be right down the alley for Hilton and Pittman. Should be one-on-one all day. We've got to attack that outside quarter, and occasionally on the slot, we want to run those slot outs and those slot corner routes underneath that. That's where the weakness of their team this year is, from numbers out, okay? No doubt about that. Okay, then I think on first down, along with your running game, is particularly in their base, when we're in base defense, that's where you want to play action. Now, why am I saying that? Well, first of all, what he's also trying to do is he's trying to mix it up a little bit, and he's dropping. Sometimes Barrett drops. Sometimes Pierre-Paul drops in there. And so, you know, what you're doing when you take guys like that, you're really, you know, they're big rushers. They're Clydesdales when they get in coverage. So, you know, and then you freeze them anyway with the run fake. Then there's a lot of holes in their fire zones now, which were not there a year ago because they didn't play them. And also into the flat sometime. Freeze them into the flat. Then you take a guy like Hines, take right. him into the flat, mm-hmm. and run a wheel. And again, what you're doing is you're putting your best players and you're putting guys that are really good rushers, but when they drop, they're really out of character. So I think that's really key. And then I just say the third thing, be alert for two things. Two guys are real playmakers. Winfield, number 31, the safety. He's got a million tackles, tackles for losses, passes defended, and an interception. Very good player in the back end. And then always be alert for White on the blitz. When they're going to bring an extra guy, it is usually White. So be alert for that. And then I'd just say the other thing is, they seem to me that they have a real problem when you motion across the formation. In other words, if you take the slot and run him across, or you take the tight end and run him all the way across in motion. They just seem to be really chaotic in their adjustments. I don't know what is causing that, but it just seems to put them on their heels. So all those things, play them wrong on first down, block the edges on protection, attack the corners, inside play action on those big guys, and then be alert for a couple key people right there and get after them.
Well, there you go. Rick Venturi giving us the blueprints on how the Colts can knock off the Buccaneers on Sunday. Meyer is the official supercenter of the Indianapolis Colts and proud sponsor of hundreds of local sports teams across the Midwest. When we return on the Colts Happy Hour, we're going to hear from Colts linebacker Zaire Franklin, who got his first interception of his career last week. This is the Colts Happy Hour brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
Welcome back to the Colts Happy Hour. We're getting you in the know on the Colts heading into the weekend.
You're listening to the Colts Happy Hour, brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Download the app today and make every moment more. In for John tonight, my name is Casey Vallier. It's been a full day of high school football state championships over at Lucas Oil Stadium. And we're going to talk Colts football with you right now until about 7:30. And then Pacers coverage will take over at 7:30. It is time to answer this week's Forum Credit Union question of the week, which was, Jonathan Taylor continued his impressive season last week with 186 rushing yards, which put him over 1,000 yards on the season already. He's now done so in both of his 2 years in the NFL. Only three Colts have reached 1,000 yards rushing in each of their first two seasons. Who are they? Well, they are Edgerrin James, Marshall Faulk, and Joseph Addai. Pretty good company to join right there, especially when you talk about running backs in Indianapolis. Jonathan Taylor currently leads the NFL with 1,122 rushing yards. He also leads the NFL in rushing touchdowns and total touchdowns, putting his name in that MVP conversation absolutely through 11 weeks of the season. Visit the Forum Credit Union Fan Forum section of Colts.com to interact with other fans online. You can post a topic and participate in various discussions regarding the Colts. Forum Credit Union helping members live their financial dreams. I mentioned before the break that we are going to hear from a guy who got his first career interception last week in the victory over the Bills, and that is linebacker Zaire Franklin, and he is with our Matt Taylor. Matt?
All right, thank you, Casey. We are indeed joined on the line right now by Colts linebacker Zaire Franklin. Zaire, thanks for the time today. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Just sitting here getting ready for the big game against the Bucs this week at home.
No doubt about that. Hey, congrats are in order for your first interception against Buffalo on Sunday. Take me back. Tell me, what was that moment like? What was going through your mind when you realized that you had a beat on that ball and that you had a good chance of picking it off?
Oh, well, you know, I just knew, you know, in the game, you know, they were, you know, trying to move the ball downfield to just try to get something going. Mm-hmm. And so I just got depth. I saw, you know, him. I broke on the ball. Then, you know, it was really wet out there. I just wanted to make sure I caught it. And once I got it, you know, it was just really just like the culmination of a whole lot of hard work, you know, a lot of time on the jugs. And,
yeah,
you know, just happy I could finally get that first one. Now I got that first one. Now I got to keep building.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you talked about it. I mean, how special of a moment is that for you? Like you said, you've been working your tail off for that for 4 years to finally get it. What did that mean to you?
Oh, it meant a lot. You know, anytime you could do something, you know, that helped the team win, you know, we had such a great game. And, you know, we always talk about finishing and the way, you know, the fact that I could be the one to kind of put the final nail in the coffin of that victory this past Sunday, it meant a lot, not only just for me personally, but also for our team. And, you know, and that's always what matters.
That's Zaire Franklin with us, Colts linebacker. Now, I always like asking guys, what do you do with that ball? Where do you display it? Do you get it like painted up and commemorated and all that stuff, or what?
Well, I'm definitely going to keep it. You know, I'll probably end up, you know, writing first career pick on it, marker, and then just put it in a frame. I got a lot of game balls over the last couple of years. So I got to start carving out some space in my house for them.
Yeah. I have a feeling you're going to need a lot more room. I think you're going to need like an entire wing to your house dedicated to some of the game balls you get over the course of your career. Now, speaking of making great plays, take me back the week before against Jacksonville. You block a punt. You set up a score for your teammate EJ Speed against the Jaguars. How did you get so free on that play? How did you get into a position where you made that play look easy with preparation going into that game on that block punt? Take me through that play on how you were so effective on that play.
Well, yeah, you know, throughout the whole week, me and my special team coordinator Bubba kind of just talked about a weakness in their protection, and I just knew that I would have an opportunity if I ran the stunt, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just really just about anticipation, just knowing that I was going to get the look that I wanted and just, you know, doing my technique, you know, the best of my I could. So once I got inside the gap and picked the tackle, I just knew I just surged to the block point, and, you know, I practiced so many times over the past few years of taking the ball off the foot and, you know, trying to get that perfect block. So it was just, it was just hard work meeting opportunity. That's all it ever really is.
And that was your first block punt of your career, correct? I mean, going back to college or high school?
I've never blocked a punt in my whole life.
Now, yeah, you talk about squeezing in the interception against Buffalo. When you feel your hand make contact with the football on a block punt, how satisfying is that?
Oh, man, it was actually crazy. Just because that's such, it's really more about the sound.
Yeah.
You know, even I know just because from being on the punt team, you can hear when the punt is get blocked.
Uh-huh.
It's like a double thud.
Sure.
When the punter hits it, it's like boom, but then when it's blocked, it's like doo doo.
Uh-huh.
Like, so like to hear that double thud was like the most satisfying thing I've ever heard in football.
That's Zaire Franklin. Now, when you make a play like that, what kind of energy and excitement does that add to the entire team? Can you put that into words on what happens on the sidelines?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, first off, all my guys are just always just happy, you know, to see, you know, somebody that they know putting the work in, make a big play, for one. And then two, you know, when you block a punt, your chances of winning the game skyrocket, mm-hmm. Just because it's such a pivotal and changing, especially when you score on special teams. So I think it was just such a big play, and it was just something that, you know, kind of kickstarted us and got the ball rolling. And once you block a punt, especially early in the game now, I just know, like, I'm on the day. Like,
yeah.
My confidence is through the roof through the day. Now I'm ready to play for real.
No doubt about that. That's Zaire Franklin with us, Colts linebacker. Now, EJ was named AFC Special Teams Player of the Week for the touchdown, but I'm saying you guys should have at least split that. I mean, you did the dirty work on the punt block. Did you have a little bit of a chip on your shoulder over that in terms of him getting the recognition?
Nah, I was happy for EJ. And I told EJ even afterwards, you know, me and EJ had a moment on the sideline, you know, that meant a lot to both of us. And I just told him, I'm like, man, look, if I ain't get it, I'm happy that you got it. I'm happy that just another linebacker got it, because it's all about the linebacker room. In our room, it really don't matter who get the credit. It's all about, you know, all of us. We all know we all ball players. We all are great players. So we all know we're going to make plays. So I was just happy that EJ got the recognition. I told him, I definitely wanted the player of the week, but I was cool. Because I was happy because he had a great game as well, too. So, I mean, he scored a touch, so he deserved the credit. But I was just happy I was able to follow that up the next week with another big play.
Man, you should run for office. That's a good political answer right there, my friend.
No, EJ, my man, for real. I'm really happy for him, though.
That's Zaire Franklin with us. Now, take me back to last Sunday against Buffalo. Zaire, what do you think that win did for the psyche of the team after everybody was saying, hey, the Colts don't know how to win big games, they can't beat playoff teams from last year? What did that do for your guys' mentality to not only win the game, but win it in the fashion that you did?
Honestly, for us, it really, I can't say it was a big win, so I don't want to say that it didn't do much for our psyche, but we've outplayed, you know, great teams all season.
No doubt.
You know, we outplayed Baltimore, we outplayed Tennessee, and, you know, we obviously those teams came back and won, and all that matters is whether you win or lose at the end of the day. But we knew what we were capable of. We knew the type of talent, we knew the type of roster, and we knew that our coach was going to put us in a position to win. So at the end of the day, it really just came down to us being us, and obviously we got another great challenge with the defending world champions coming in town this week. But really, it's all about us. I think we play the best when we just focus on what we do best and how we execute, and then everything else is going to take care of itself.
Final couple of things with Zaire Franklin with us. Talk to me about Tom Brady. It's the second time, if I'm not mistaken, it's the second time you faced him in your career. How excited are you to face off against one of the all-time greats, especially after they won the Super Bowl last year?
I mean, it's always a great opportunity when you're playing against, like I said, a great team, but especially, you know, a great player such as Tom Brady. I'm interested to play him this time around, because last time I played him, I was a young pup. It was like my fourth game in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was Edelman's first game back in New England, if I'm not mistaken, short week. So it's just a whole different situation. I feel like I've learned so much about the NFL, about the game since then. And obviously, you know, he's done gone through a lot and gone on to achieve great things as well in that time period. So it's definitely going to be a a great matchup, and you know, I'm looking forward to the challenge.
Well, there you go. Colts linebacker Zaire Franklin got his first career interception in the victory over the Bills. The Colts Audio Network includes the Colts official podcast, radio shows, press conferences, and player interviews, and you can find it at iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere else you download podcasts. You can listen to exclusive Colts audio content on demand and stay up to date on the Colts on your schedule. We're going to wrap up the show after the break. You are listening to the Colts Happy Hour, brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
We now return to the Colts Happy Hour, an inside look at the Colts on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan. You know
where I want to go. And we're back for the final time on the Colts Happy Hour, brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Download the app today and make every moment more. Once again, I've been Casey Valier in for J&B tonight. Really appreciate you listening. We're up against it tonight, but a quick injury report. Nobody ruled out for the game on Sunday for the Colts against the Bucks for the second straight week. Darius Leonard and Quentin Nelson are both listed as questionable with ankle injuries. The Colts are optimistic they will be ready to go on Sunday. As we mentioned, the Colts, they host defending Super Bowl champion Buccaneers with Tom Brady coming to Lucas Oil Stadium on Sunday, and that is a 1 o'clock kick out at Lucas Oil. But right now, the Indiana Pacers welcome in the Toronto Raptors at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. You've been listening to the Colts Happy Hour, brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan. Have a good night. She bet on